golden dreamy beauty man. Is it only fantasy? Sometimes one can't help but wonder, will it ever truly be? Some people keep on saying all is illusion and lies. Why is it so hard to believe there are better days to see? So it seems like the world is tumbling down. It's the darkest time of night. Right before dawn, here comes the time of the dawn. Here comes the time of the dawn. Here comes the time where all the people live. Wonderful world, here it comes. Here comes the day where wisdom and harmony will fill the earth. Here comes the brightest light to shine. Here it comes, here it comes.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we've been blessed to stay alive by the Most High in Torah Chaim, instructions of life toward Chesed, instructions of kindness towards Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned into blogtalkradio.com, but we are the higher dimension within Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. This happens to be Soul Class 526. Meditation equals wellsprings for the human soul. Program presentation number 20. Blessed is our Creator. Shalom. Peace and bracha. Blessing upon the human family experience. With Creator's help, our next broadcast is taking place right now on November 4th, 2015. It's now 9:32 Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, the USA, a.k.a. Unifying Souls, actually. Program content will focus on plucking inspirations from the elucidations from Hillel Barich, a faithful student of a direct descendant of Kings David and Solomon, who authored the seminal work Shari Yuchud, which is the Gate of Unification. His name is the Mittler Rebbe. Our call-in number to listen in right now is 347-838-8669. And Bruch HaBayim, blessed are those who come to hear the archive version as well. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And we're going to turn down the music and ask Mechila forgiveness of Isaac Batone from his Here Comes the Time from Generation Redemption. Here comes, we're going to lower the music. Sorry, Rabbi Isaac, I'm with the shoe. That's a kind of terse ending. And I just want to remind everyone that Rabbi Isaac is the president of Beit Mazal Sephardic Congregation here in Kesser Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York. And this coming Shabbat, Bezer Hashem, with the help of the Most High, we will have a gathering for prayer, for the morning Shabbat prayer, followed by a modest, humble Kiddush, where some wine and bread or crackers and fish and salad are consumed, and we sit down and have some real soul talk in between the wine and the crackers and the fish and the salad. Before we go further into today's humble presentation concerning meditation equals wellsprings for this human soul, I'd like to remind everyone that there's still an opportunity for you to participate if you will be in New York City, Manhattan, this coming Monday, November 9th. You still have the opportunity to RSVP yourself for this event. Let me tell you what it's about. It is called the November 9th Summit at the UN Headquarters, United for Peace, which will take place between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m., located at the United Nations, New York, New York, and you will enter on 1st Avenue and 45th Street. What is this event about? Well, it's being described as harnessing cultural and religious ethics to promote the UN post-2015 development goals. The UN post-2015 developmental goals encompass ethics inherent in many cultures and religions on issues of social justice. The Institute of Noahide Code, in cooperation with the Interparliamentary Coalition for Global Ethics, invite you to participate as a keynote speaker to address the critical quest to harness cultural and religious ethics to promote these goals. The United Nations headquarters faces the Isaiah Wall inscribed across from the main building. The quote from the prophet Isaiah, which is in chapter 2, verse 4 in the book of Isaiah, the Novi Agula, the prophet of redemption, was chosen as the as the founding motto for the world's foremost organization for international peace. It is in Creator's eternal thought. The day is mentioned when no nation will wage war against another nation, when swords, the instruments of war, will be transformed into plowshares, the instruments for providing man's sustenance. The universal Noahide Code, or seven universal laws of Noah, which are cited by the philosopher Hugo Grotius, or Grotius, as the foundation for international law, the basis for the United Nations Charter, are the practical means by which humanity can strive to live in unity and peace and can fulfill its potential to see all the families of the earth, as I like to call the human family experience, to be blessed. These laws for peace and unity encompass respect for God, for human life, respect for the family, for other people's property, for the creation, respect for judicial systems, which of course are in sync with the universal seven core commandments, and respect for all creatures and the environment. As leader in the fields of culture and religion, we invite you to share your insight and wisdom with the leading leaders to assure that the vision of the United Nations to have a peaceful and civilized world in which economic justice and righteousness prevail can be fulfilled. This goal of this summit is to develop a coalition of religious and cultural leaders to work with the UN to implement the developmental goals towards a culture of peace and prosperity. All are welcome. Now, in order for you to attend Blessed Souls, you will need to RSVP via the following email link. Just go to your email and type in capital INFO at capital NOAHIDE.org. That's info at NOAHIDE.org. And this event is being headlined by the director of the Institute of Noahide Code, Rabbi Yaakov David Cohen, who I interviewed a couple weeks ago to talk about this event. So with that being said, let's now go into our normal presentation of this type of content, which is, of course, gleaning inspirations from the Shaar Yichud, the Gate of Unification, as well as we'll be gleaning the elucidations, hopefully in a digestible way for anyone who's listening right now or will hear in the archive version. Blessed souls, the task at hand, if we choose to take upon this task upon ourselves, and if we can exemplify this task within our own lifestyle to others, to encourage any human being to subdue one's heart, in a peaceful, pleasant manner, of course, beyond the fleshly pursuits of this blessed world. To elevate the constant flow of blessed human thought processing requires accessing a force. For embedded within this force, which is part and parcel of the experience of a human being having a thought at any one point in time, it behooves us to focus on the fact that embedded within this force of human thought, there exists a bechina, a dimension of elokus, of divinity, godliness, soulful light, which accesses, if we make our efforts, eternal creator's eternal Torah, or as the English-speaking world might call the Bible. Granted, it is self-understood that while each human being, he or she, are unique, solely unique, wholly unique, as to what constitutes his or her nature, yet there does exist a very general means of categorizing human beings from within the traditions of Torah Shabbat Peh, She Yisrael, the oral Torah tradition of the nation of Israel. So category one, in a very general, broad sense, is applicable to those human beings who are quite, in fact, by their very nature, intellectually inclined, and therefore can gain some sort of microcosmic mastery of the greater macrocosmic eternal instruction, Creator's eternal Torah/Bible. general category two, again, a broad sweeping generalization, is inclusive of human beings who are masters of fine, wholesome character traits, who shun with both hands, spiritually, cognitively, and emotionally, various forms of hatred, jealousy, and competition, which he or she assess to be injurious to their daily, mundane living experiences, and how much more so to be those feelings of hatred, jealousy, and unwanted competition, to be unwarranted emotional baggage when meriting to participate at a joyous occasion. Say one goes to a friend's wedding, or a child's wedding, a grandchild's wedding, a cousin's wedding, a nephew's wedding, a niece's wedding. Why bring the baggage of hatred, jealousy, and unwarranted competition to such a joyous event? Drop the bags, as they say, check your bags at the spiritual desk, and enjoy rejoicing with others as they rejoice with themselves and others, meaning you. So what could serve, as Rav Hillel elucidates in this section of the Shari Yuchud of the Gate of Unification, elucidating on Os Aleph, chapter 1 in the seminal work by the Mittler Rebbe, his Rav, what can serve as a cognitive, spiritual, emotional glue that binds together both that broad characterization of human beings who are intellectually inclined, and I'm hesitant to say find it easy, but they don't have as many impediments as the second broad categorization of human beings, those who have very healthy emotional traits. But the first category, the broad generalization of human beings who are intellectually inclined, what can bring them together to further strengthen their intellectual, cognitive, spiritual, physical engagements with the learning of Torah? And what can strengthen the second broad categorization of human beings with those broad, healthy emotions to the point where they're able to exclude from their consciousness as much as possible feelings of hatred, jealousy, and need for unwarranted competition? The empowerment of both broad characterizations of human beings, as I've just mentioned, and how one can have a synergistic relationship, broad characterization of human being type A and broad characterization type B of a human being with those healthy emotions, can be brought together to work together. But there is this quality within all of us, whether we be more intellectually inclined or more emotionally stabilized. There is something which brings it all together, the whole package of human being, being human, a human being a proper being. And this is called a bechina of omek hadas, the depth of one's knowledge, the depths of one's sensitivity as one connects to Torah, divine instruction, and even matters which can be categorized in a general, more particularized manner as being secular endeavors, worldly endeavors. What can bring it all together is this quality of omek hadas, the depth of one's sensitivity, the depths of one's knowledge, which also has a ripple effect upon one's omek hachachma, the depth of one's human being or any human being's wisdom. And the omek hadas, the depth of one's das, also has a ripple effect and a penetrating effect on one's omek habina, the depth of one's understanding. But please recognize, blessed souls, that while we're talking about the sterling, powerful, binding, gluing qualities of das and omek hadas, the depth of this gluing together of different components of human cognitive functioning and human emotional flexibility, the root of all knowledge, the root of how we are sensitized to what we're sensitive to and love being sensitive to those very issues in Torah concepts, Villa wants us to know that we're relating to a type of human consciousness, a type of quality of das called das elyon, the more elevated, higher levels of das, which in fact I'm glad to report to you and share with you, this Das Elyon, it can exist and does exist within the essence of any and every blessed human soul experience, meaning from the point when we are jettisoned down from the upper abodes of creation, meaning where godliness is more apparent and physicality and mundane activities are more ethereal or in pre-potential state, that within our blessed soul experience, there exists the capacity for the human soul to bind itself via the faculty of Das to the essential core being, which otherwise can be identified as a Torah instruction, meaning that faculty of Das Elyon within yourself, blessed souls, your more elevated form of sensitivity, which you might not even be that conscious of. But when you learn these type of teachings from Panim HaTorah, the inner dimension of Torah, you become aware it exists. Do you get to its essence to the point you feel it so deep in your mind and deep in your heart? Well, that's something you'll have to ask yourself. I'm not going to answer that question for you. But Das has this empowering, nurturing quality to it because, again, within our Atzmius Nefesh, the essence of our soul, there is ability, a involuntary response to a matter of godliness. The Nisayon, the test that we undergo in this world, is while our higher level of consciousness, our superconscious. Now, we're not talking about the Koach HaMaskia, which is in the area, as identified in the teachers of the hidden dimensions of Torah, the inner dimensions of Torah, is an area which hovers over the membranes, M-E-M-B-R-A-N-E-S, to protect the physical brain, B-R-A-I-N, with the three brains, Malka Chochma, Malka Bina, Malka Das, the brain of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge and sensitivity, the essence of something. We're talking about a type of connection between that level of our soul, which is way beyond how it manifests as in being enclosed into our physical bodies. And it senses that which is in the essence of a Torah concept, which is godliness. Now, in this process of the human soul connecting to the eternality, the essence of the Torah concept, this can bring about a positive outcome of a bechina of a hamshacha melamai lamata, of an elicitation from above to below, meaning above our physical existence, as we understand we are physical beings in a physical world. We're also spiritual beings in a physical world. However, we cannot negate the physicality of our lives because so decreed the Creator that we be physical beings. But the point is that we should try to elevate our physicality and not be sunken into it. However, what I want you to know as well, blessed souls, is that Rav Hillel wants to remind us that while that das, that gift that's given to us as human beings, which is embedded within the essence of our soul, that connect to the essence of a Torah concept, can be aroused as a gift from above, or we've interacted with very wise human beings who activate within us that sense of wanting to connect to the essence of a Torah concept, there's something that we can do as students of Torah, students of Scripture, students of Israelite oral Torah tradition, students of meditation, students of inner understanding, students of analytical Torah study. When we have an additional option to arouse all the karma, portions of our human intellect, to be illuminated with a quality of revelation of consciousness. And the way of this being aroused is not from above to below, but from lamata lamala, from below to above, meaning we as students of Torah can arouse within ourselves this whole process, which otherwise can be achieved, so to speak, automatically by our Das Elyon within our souls, our upper level, our more elevated forms of knowledge and sensitive to the essence of the Torah concept, but we as limited understanding human beings, meaning, excuse me, all of us have certain limitations in our understanding, but there is nothing which obliges us to remain limited or to lack awareness of the profundity of any Torah teaching, which is basically we don't have to stand in the dark in terms of trying to fathom what is the godliness of such a teaching in Torah. Through the process of his bonanus, which again can be defined very, very superficially as meditation or contemplation. But also we have to consider, if we're going to make it that terse a definition, we have to give it, so to speak, two other terse definitions, meaning it also is composed of an inner understanding, which may precede or be the outcome of our analytical Torah study. So we see here, blessed is, when we began a couple weeks ago talking about the three portions of our intellect, our wisdom, our understanding, and our knowledge or sensitivity to a Torah concept, in general terms, illuminates from above to below. That doesn't preclude us from trying to go from below to above via the process of meditation, via the process of inner understanding, via the process of analytical Torah study. And the potency, now we're going to pluck out inspirations from the Mittler Rebbe for the next couple of minutes, or next few moments, I say, not minutes, but moments. The what it is that makes this his bonus, this human experience of contemplation, meditation, inner understanding, analytical Torah study, so potent in its essence, it is triggered by the essence of how strong we want to look into the depth of a concept that we're seeking out, how much truth do we want to extract out of it that it should become our truth, because the truth of Torah stands on its own, Torah's emes. But again, how long do we want to take the time to engage our consciousness into the concept until we extract out for ourselves what is the truth of the matter, even though the truth that we extract might only be 1/60th of that ultimate truth. There are other 59 parts out of 60 levels within that truth. But still, even in our microcosmic efforts to seek out, as we understand the truth of the matter, eventually we can come to understand with some clarity concerning that Torah concept via the human experience of meditation, contemplation, inner understanding, and analytical Torah study. We can come to understand it within all the particularities and the particulars of the particularities within that concept. And that is an expression of Panemius Bina, of inner understanding, which has been identified as well in our Old Torah tradition, known as the Gemara, with the name of Iyun, which is, as we mentioned before, analytical Torah study. Just as it's brought down in the Talmudic tractate of Sukkah, there are two general styles of learning. There is the cursory, what I like to call the cursory Reader's Digest version of learning Torah. The person just skims through the reading, gets some sort of understanding. Excuse me. And then there's the unique, excuse me, which is the analytical side of Torah study, which is an option for any human being if they want to learn it that way. So the Mittler Rebbe explained Girsa, and we're going to break in here now with a brief elucidation by the Parcher, that when we're talking about a more cursory reader, I like to call it the Reader's Digest form of learning, this is an expression, according to the Rav Hillel Parch, acquire chatzonius bina, more externalized, superficial levels of understanding. Now, the downside of this, the Mittler Rebbe continues, is that this is only with the understanding of a matter, with our first glance at it, and we proceed to go further to learn new concepts, and we don't restrain ourselves, and we don't seek to stand upon the concept, meaning we accept it, but we're not necessarily convinced of the truth of it as we can understand it as to be a truth for us to live by and to talk about. And this can be understood by a way of a allegory. When one looks at something with the human eye, the physical human eye, and doesn't meditate, does not analyze at all upon the matter with its qualitative and essential features, with all of its particularities, the inner dimensions of that thing that we're looking at, or the outer superficial qualities of it, but rather just passing over the eye, and it doesn't really grasp us to the point where we have it in its totality, but in all its particularity, I should say, but rather we just get a general picture of the matter, and nothing really has been absorbed, excuse me, within the inner mind of comprehension. Lo nikla ha'inim ba'panimis moch ha'tzagaso. So in the span of time, a person is going to forget about what they were looking at. And if they were able to remember something and then they were able to relate it to someone else, they can only relate it to someone in a very superficial manner. Because they only looked at it in a general way, so they can only describe it in a general way. Because they didn't sink their intellect into it. The eye of their intellect. The eye of the intellect of their heart into it. So to speak, they're just passing over with the eye of their intellect. And with that being said, bless those, we're going to conclude now, leaving off on the eye of the intellect, because when we started this series many, many, many months ago, we talked about in the Shor HaBlat by the Mittler Rebbe that this matter of seeking out Hashem, God, Creator, Elohim, the eye of the intellect within the heart, which is so close and yet very deep. But hopefully in our next presentation, we're going to talk about the Ayin of Seichel, the eye of the intellect, as it exists in the mind. It's a mindset, so to speak, the eye of the intellect, but where it's manifesting within the 10 divine conduits of creation as they manifest down within our own human cognitive experience. Hopefully we'll get to that next week. So with that being said, blessed souls, we're getting closer and closer to Shabbat. I want to wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom. And again, I want to remind everyone that you have a wonderful opportunity, if you are in New York City, this coming Monday, November 9th, to be at the United Nations. The entrance is at 1st Avenue and 45th Street. Excuse me. Excuse me, please. But again, you'll have to RSVP at info. Capital INFO at noahai.org. So now, of course, we're going to end today's humble effort. Excuse the coughing again, please. With our brother, David Domo, who just announced that he's celebrating his 20th wedding anniversary. With his wife of valor, Maras Denise Dom. So Hashem blessed him for many more years and in good health and good wealth and nachas from the children and them giving nachas to everyone else. And the Shekhinah should be between them and flow out of their house and into their neighborhood and community, into England where they live, until the four corners of the earth. So the name of the song that we're going to conclude with is The Wind in My Sails by David Domo. Help us get back home, to help us realize that we can internalize that our divine image will help us get scrimmage. I say Elam Elohim is no dream, and just remember, blessed souls, we've got to do good. Why do we have to do good? Despite the fact this might cause agita, it might cause anxiety, it might cause painful ambivalence, because the tevah of the hatev is the nature of the good, do good. And our wonderful, merciful, loving Creator loves us and gave all of us life. So what can we do to reflect out some of that kindness, some of that goodness? It could be in thought, speech, and action. That's for each one of us to determine. But to empower us, of course, we have wonderful Torah instructions, eternal Torah instructions. And to deepen that experience, excuse me, we can do it through, please forgive me for that coughing fit I'm having today. We can do this through the process of meditation, inner understanding, and analytical Torah study. And hopefully may this all manifest and be accomplished in the way of Hav Echad, one love, Goral Echad, one destiny, Kulanu, for all of us, Babori Echad, and the one Creator, B'darchi Noam, in a pleasant way, Darchi Shom, in a peaceful way, L'ham Sheikh, B'ez Hashem Yisbereich, to be continued with the help of the Creator. Take care, everyone.
reflected like diamonds in the sea. Bring to the surface the diamonds inside me.
It's